It is wonderful to be alive. And I'm talking about intuition today. And I'm going to start out with how I did not follow my intuition and what occurred from that. Some of you have heard part of the story, some of you all of it. So if you've heard it before, just hum to yourself while I'm saying this. I'm a great believer in following your intuition. And at our house, we have a view of four peaks. And we go out and we sit and watch it. We sit on these bar stool kind of things and watch the mountains and we watch the sunset. And to get up on our stools to watch, we have to step up on a little stool. And so we've been doing that for a number of months, going out and meditating and looking at our beautiful four peaks. And I noticed when I stepped on the little stool that it kind of just slightly sagged a little. It's such a cute little stool. It had footprints on the top of it. It was a little purple stool, purple footprints. And it was just a wonderful little thing to get up and down off these high stools. However, when we would step on it the last few times, it kind of moved slightly, squished down. But we were busy getting ready to go to Colorado to see our granddaughter, Crystalline, who lives out there. So we kind of rushed, and I didn't say anything to Herb about the stool kind of being that way. And he packed it to put it in our RV to take it with us. So we go out to Colorado, have the most wonderful week out there. Our granddaughter just September the 24th had her 30th birthday, Debbie's daughter. And so we were out kind of celebrating early with that and having a wonderful time with them. And they invited over about 20 or so friends to let us do a little mini workshop. And we talked about intuition and all the wonderful things in this whole field. A very receptive crowd. Sometimes that age group has other things on their mind, but I couldn't have been more wonderful and attentive. And so it was just a great visit. We had such a good time. They have such a nice group of friends. And I went to get into the RV on the 29th of July. See, these are burned in my mind, these dates. And when I stepped on the little adorable, cute, precious purple stool, it flew into 10 or 12 pieces and just disintegrated. And I fell backwards on my sacrum and on the back of my head. And I think it knocked me out just for a few seconds because I saw black and then I saw blue and every color of the rainbow. And it was kind of pretty, except that it hurt so bad on the back of my head and on my sacrum. And I laid there and it was raining. And Herb was behind me, and he had seen this whole thing, and he's just standing there in shock because there's nothing he can do. And everything went kind of black, and then it got okay, and I knew I was really hurt. And so I just kind of quietly prayed, got up, and I was okay. The stool will never be able to be put back together again. But here's the point of all that. For weeks, intuitively, I knew there was a problem with this little folding footstool. And it was the one we would step onto our metal stairs in the RV. And I knew that, and I didn't do anything about it. I intuitively knew there was something wrong here. That's what happens when you don't listen to your intuition, when you don't pay attention to the things around you, and all of us have a tendency to ignore that because it's not one of our five senses. And so we think, well, that maybe isn't accurate or whatever. But when we learn to trust our intuition, we can prevent a lot of these things. I did not have to have that ball. It was for no purpose other than to show me to trust my intuition. So I'm not really good about that all the time. I have a lot of natural intuition, as you do, as we all do. And when we follow it, how does it? It's good, right? It's usually accurate. When we don't follow it, it's when we get into trouble. Like, for instance, I had this thought. I was getting married once, and I know, the tone of my voice tells you. And at the wedding, before the vows were said, I thought, this is not a good idea. You shouldn't be doing this. But it's really awkward to get up in the middle of a wedding ceremony that you're in and say anything, and I didn't. And I had 8 or 9 really miserable years because I didn't follow my intuition. So there was that. Then this is, to me, one of the most fascinating things that has happened to me, because sometimes you have an intuitive feeling and there's nothing that happens where you can prove that it's a correct feeling. And so you just think, oh, maybe I was wrong or maybe I wasn't clear. In 1975, I was finishing up a ministerial program in Washington, D.C., and would get it ordained in about a year from that time. And my son had died on March the 18th, 1974. And this was May of 75, and it was in all of the newspapers. Two young girls, the Lyon girls, L-Y-O-N, disappeared from a mall near where I lived with my children, a couple of miles away, and no one could find them. Well, in our class that we were having for the ministry, we had a development circle where we would go around and tune in to the people there and pick up messages and all that kind of thing for them. So they decided in that circle to tune in to see if they could find out what happened to these girls that had disappeared. They had gone to the mall and no one had ever seen them again. One was 10 and one was 12. And so our class decided to tune in, and if we picked up anything, because we had been 3 years in the ministry and it was our final year, we thought we were pretty hot stuff. We were really picking up a lot of good things. We thought that maybe we could tune in and find out where these girls were being hidden or what had happened to them. So we all tuned in this circle and went around the circle, and someone would say, they've been kidnapped, they'll be found. They won't be found for a few years, but they're alive and well. And they just had all these messages, and they got to me. And when I had tuned in, I had seen a man in the woods by a little stream with a bridge over it. And I knew instantly, intuitively, that the girls were dead and that they had been murdered. And I was the only one in the class that picked that up. And everybody said, no, they're alive, they're okay, because nobody wants to believe somebody would kill two young girls, 10 and 12 years old. And so as the years went by, we would kind of look at the newspaper to see if there was any more news about it, but there wasn't. And it made me determined at that time never to work for the police department, because there was a short period where I thought, you know, I can use my intuition and help the police out. But what I discovered when I tuned in telepathically to this murderer is that I don't want to pick up those energies, those thoughts, those vibrations. For me, it was extremely, extremely difficult. So years went by, and we just kind of watched for anything about it, and they never did find the person. And ever so often, we'd start thinking about this. And Debbie and I were talking in the car on the way in this morning, and just a week or so ago, she had been thinking about these girls, and so had I. And here's what happened to these young girls. Lloyd Welsh pleaded guilty to 2 counts of first-degree felony murder in the slaying of the Lyon sisters. It had happened in March 25, 1975, as they were walking from their home in Kensington, Maryland, to a nearby shopping center. After all those years, he was indicted on their murder. Now, 40-some years had gone by, and there was never any confirmation that what I had picked up was intuitively correct. So sometimes you have incredibly clear and good guidance, but you have no way of confirming that guidance or proving that it is correct. Now, generally, it doesn't take 40-some years for something like that to be proven. But just so that you don't get discouraged, to realize when you're picking up something that it may be further down the road that you get confirmation that that's actually true. I wish it weren't true. They have not found the bodies, though they are going through some bones and ashes in a fire pit, because someone saw things being burned at that very time. And so I'm sure that in the next months or years we'll hear that that has also been confirmed, but the man is serving life in prison, will never get out. You don't want to pick up the thoughts of somebody that's raping and committing a murder, and I don't have the strength to do that kind of work and not get just absolutely depressed and worn out from that kind of information. But we have tremendous intuitive ability that we don't always use and we take for granted. And the more that we can trust on that voice within or the inner guidance that we get, the better our lives will be. But we don't, because it's not one of our five senses. And so we think, oh, you know, maybe I'm just making it up. Maybe I'm just imagining that. Time does not become sacred to us until we have lived it, until it has passed over us and taken with it a part of ourselves. You can change almost anything but the passage of time. That's one of the most depressing things, is that you cannot stop the clock. I would have liked to have stopped at about 39, but I forgot, and it didn't stop, and it's continuing to pass. So there's nothing we can do about that. The most wasted gift from God is what? Time. The most wasted gift. We think we have forever. We don't. And you can be young and die the next day. You can be 100 and die. You never know when that's going to happen with you. Only when we are no longer afraid do we begin to live. And I think that's a really important thing to be aware of, that if we're afraid, we don't live fully. And so many of us are afraid most of the time. We're afraid of getting older. We're afraid of illness. We're afraid of so many things. And the fear keeps us from really living the fullest life possible. So not only can we enhance our daily life through becoming aware and intuitive, but the only way that we're going to get really clear guidance is to become meditators. And, you know, meditation, so boring. Meditation, meditation. In meditation is creation, Edgar Cayce said. In meditation, we are creating what we think, what we feel we're creating. I had a wonderful friend who is now deceased. She was an Allstate agent and very, very psychic and intuitive. She would call me up and she would say, "Ann, Stephen, my son who died, wants to talk to you. He said he hadn't talked to you in 3 weeks because you're so busy with everything else you don't take time to listen." And every time that she would call and tell me that was exactly true. It had been 3 weeks or 2 weeks or 5 weeks. Very psychic woman. She calls me one day and she said, "I had this dream and I intuitively feel I need to tell you to warn you." She said, "A big black Doberman came and attacked you and mauled you pretty badly." And what she didn't know was that Herb and I had been walking, a dog that we had, and it was in heat, and we'd been walking by these big dogs, and they could have easily jumped the fence and hurt us, so we took that as a warning, and we didn't go out with a dog in heat any longer. And also, we stayed away from that very yard because they could have easily jumped over the fence. So sometimes a friend gets this intuitive guidance. It's right on for you. Listen to it, because Dorothy, my friend who died, helped us a number of times by sharing with us dreams and intuitive impressions that she'd had like that. However, I would say it's the rare person that has the courage to call somebody up and say, "You know, I had this dream and this Doberman attacked you and mauled you. I think you need to be really careful around any Dobermans in the next few weeks." So sometimes friends will pick up things if we don't. And I have a bad habit of going for weeks sometimes without talking to Steve, and I get tied up in life. You know, there's so many things that we're interested in doing, and I forget to communicate with him. People have a lot of kinds of intuitive gifts, and one of the most interesting that I've ever run into, we had been lecturing, I think, in California, and we were at a big dinner afterwards, and there was a man sitting next to me, and he said, "I've never told anybody this before, but," he said, "when I'm appearing before my board of directors, I telepathically tune into them to see if they're going to vote in the right direction for the good of the company." He was the president of the biggest optical company in the United States. And he said, "The reason I'm so successful is our board is always in harmony. because what I do is I leave my body and I go and I can hear what they're thinking and planning, and some of it seems to be a good thing to work with and some doesn't. And so I make those decisions based upon my intuition and the top person in that field. So there's a book called Executive ESP. I didn't bring it, but they have discovered through research that successful executives have a higher degree of extrasensory perception ability, telepathy and all those kind of things, than the ordinary person that hasn't known that they can use that ability. And so here he was using it, and it was a great example of that. There's another word that I want to add to all of this, the word impermanence. We have a good friend in New York, and she heads the prayer registry. Some of you all may belong to the prayer registry, wonderful, where they pray for your children that died on anniversary of the day they transition. And she said the word impermanence is really important, that we need to know that everything in our life is impermanent. The fact that we're here in these bodies, it's not a permanent thing. We are going to be leaving. No matter what you do, the odds are about 99.9 that you will transition and you will end up on the other side and wonder where all the years went. Everything is impermanent. The moment that you realize that there's an impermanence to everything, you begin to live more fully. So their whole book's written about that. When I was going through school, we had, as I said, this development circle, and when we would go around and tune into people, we learned to see pictures around people, and to this day, I still see that, and like right now, I can't because I'm not tuned into you all, but normally when I'm talking to someone, if I kind of get into a little quiet mode, pictures start to appear, and I can see things around people. All of you have that ability. You just simply haven't used it and know how to do it, and these symbols have meaning. And so I had a good friend in Washington, D.C. when I was living there, and she was having an affair with a guy that we knew, but nobody knew about it. It was a secret affair. And they both were single. I don't know why it was secret, but it was. And I was doing a reading for him, and he was kind of skeptical, like, you know, arms crossed, like, you know, right. And I said, I see pictures of you and this woman in Hawaii. I said, I don't know what that means, actually. And he said, I have no idea. I have no idea. And he left the reading without very much confirmation. You know, sometimes you're right on, sometimes you're not. And that was one of the times it didn't feel like I was right on. And went straight home to her and said, this is scary. She picked up that we're having an affair and going to Hawaii. Actually, I had not picked up they were having an affair. It's kind of obvious, but that they were going to Hawaii. He said, there must be something to this whole field. There must be something to it. So we do tune in and we do get this information, and here's one of the worst things you can do to a sensitive or a psychic. Deny what they're picking up. Now, that fact that my friend denied that he was having this affair, I don't know, is very minor. But very often people will pick up information about someone that could be very helpful, and they'll go, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And it makes the sensitive or the intuitive person think, what is wrong with me? I'm really off. I'm not picking up, when in fact you may be right on. Not that you want to intrude into anyone's private business. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with these things that you know and you sense and you can pick up from people around you. Sometimes you see pictures. Sometimes I'll see a whole movie. I'll be looking at someone and I'll just see this whole movie over. And sometimes it's past lives. Sometimes it's other kind of things. I regret that I didn't read this book sooner, and I'm not quite finished with it. We had Larry Dawsey, the MD, as a speaker at our conference. Some of you were there. And he was an absolutely wonderful speaker, has written a number of best-selling books. He wrote a book called The Power of Premonitions, The Power of Premonitions, among many other things that he's written. And he talks about trusting these intuitive things and seeing things before they happen. How many of you have seen something in your inner vision or your feeling or your mind, and it has happened? How many of you did? See, it happens all the time. Especially happens with children. I did 15 research groups with children. Bill Roberts worked on a few of those with me, and these kids could do amazing things. They could see things, they could bend forks, they could bend knives, they could do all kinds of things, and they even made a television show in Phoenix about the work that we did. So young children have an ability to use the intuition. They don't judge it, they just trust it and they go with it, and very often they're true. So listen to your children and your grandchildren. They may be picking up things that you're not quite aware of. I remember one time driving down Tatum when Crystalline, our granddaughter, was 4 years old. And as we're driving down Tatum, I'm steering, and she goes, "Grandma, I remember when I was a woman." And I went, "What?" She said, "I remember when I was a woman and I had 5 children," and she just rattled off their names and all this information about them and told me all this stuff about the life that they had had. And she must have gone in for 5 minutes. I'm trying to steer the car and not have a wreck, because it was, you could feel the energy in the car. And then I said, I asked her a question, and she said, "I don't want to talk about it anymore, Grandma." So you're going to run into that with your children and grandchildren, that they will, for a while, just really open up and tell you all this, and then they'll close down. And you have to be there when they're ready to talk and ready to share. Young kids have an incredible intuitive ability. And we saw so many things with these 15 groups of children over the research projects we did with them that were absolutely wonderful. The other thing to do with intuition is, even Jesus could not make it okay with everyone. Why do we think that we can always make it okay with everyone, and that we must do anything, including lying down and let somebody walk all over us, in order to function this lifetime? Why do we think that we have to do that? We have an ability to know what is best for us, and certainly with everybody else's guidance and input, we can sort out things that will be helpful and not helpful. But we can't always make it right for everyone. And some people are really threatened by someone who is very intuitive. "Oh, what are you picking up?" For a long time, every time we went somewhere, somebody would say, "What are you picking up about me?" And I'd say, "Absolutely nothing." "Oh, you are. What is it? Tell me what you're picking up." You know, people that are intuitive want to rest like anybody else, and we don't always want to be on. So you're not always picking up, but sometimes you're picking up things that can really be helpful to someone in their life, and by the things that you tell them, it can aid them in their own particular journey. So there are people this lifetime that will bring information to us, intuitive information. So I had gotten in my life some absolutely wonderful life readings, and got a wonderful one from Suzanne Wilson. Other people can bring information through that can help us on our journey. We can bring information through that will help people on their journey. We can talk to ourselves and get a tremendous amount of information. We just, I'll tell you where my intuition was off on this. We just got, what is the name of it? Ancestry.com. We just had our DNA done through Ancestry.com. Now, we have family pictures that show these Native American women. Our family used to call them the princesses. They were probably squaws, but they were called the princesses. And we have that, these pictures with all of them in there. And so I've had a great deal of pride, including wanting to adopt children that were Native American. And I've always just loved the thought of having a Native American baby to raise. And we get our Ancestry.com information back. I know it's going to say Egypt, Israel. I know it's going to say all those exciting places. I am 97% British. Now, that starts to make sense. When the first place I ever traveled overseas, I was on a 9-country healing tour. The first place I ever landed was Heathrow Airport in London, out of the country. And a voice, as I was getting off the plane, was not on the speaker, said, "Welcome home." And from the time that we landed in England, and we've been back many times since then, it was like home to me. And I had a series of past life experiences there, walking down the aisle in Westminster Abbey. I was in slacks, and I kicked the long gown that I was wearing as I was getting married in Westminster, and then we learned all about that lifetime. So we often have an idea of who we are and what we are, and I'm 97% British. Not that I have anything against the British. I love the British, but a little Egyptian, a little Israeli, a little something else. 97% British. So much for my intuition, because I've always told everyone that I am part Native American. Part Native American, a really teeny weeny weeny part Native American. Let me tell you, whenever you're wondering about words, the best thing to do is go look them up and look at the meanings that maybe you hadn't realized that that word has. Intuition is the direct perception of truth, fact, whatever, independent of any reasoning process. Intuition, perception of truth, independent of any reasoning process. Telepathy, communication between minds by some means other than sensory perception. We all have telepathy. We pick up people's thoughts. We all do, some better than others. Clairvoyance, quick intuitive knowledge of things and people. Clairvoyance, everybody is clairvoyant to some extent. Psychic is of or relating to the human soul, as opposed to the physical outside of natural or scientific knowledge. Spiritual, relating to some apparently non-physical force. So we have these psychic perceptions. They all, you can hardly sort out what is intuition, what is mind reading, what is all kinds of things clairvoyant. So they all kind of mesh in together. Mind reading, the ability to discern the thoughts of others without the normal means of communication. For a few weeks, when I first got into this field, I could read people's minds. You think that's a gift? It is not a gift. You don't want them to know. You don't want to know what they're thinking about you. Oh, look at her hair. Look at that. She's put on a few pounds. Oh, she's really getting older looking. You don't want to know what they're thinking. And so for a few weeks, I had that gift or curse, I'm not sure which, and could read people's minds. And it just showed me what the mind was capable of, not what I ever wanted to do. Premonitions, a forewarning or feeling of anticipation or anxiety over a future event. Premonition, we have a premonition, we have feelings, we have thoughts. And we can learn to channel those in a way that will make our lives more full. And there are hundreds of books about telepathy and working with your psychic development. Betty Bethards wrote a book called 7 Steps to Developing Your Intuitive Powers. And she said, as a child, you never ever think of giving up on anything. You know you can do it. You keep going with it, or most children do. So you continue to grow and learn. But it doesn't end with college or when you're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. It doesn't end. You are always, always growing and learning. Life is eternal, and the problem in the world today is too many people are looking outside of themselves for truth, and it is not somewhere out there. It is somewhere in here, the truth that we're looking for. You know, I've often talked about the soul when I've lectured about the soul, I don't know how many times, and I think that what is attributed to different people is correct, whether it's from those people or not, is that you do not have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. That profound truth really is going to make a difference in your life. You have a body. You are a soul. You have a body. And in that truth makes us become more aware of what we're capable of doing. By fearing to follow our dreams, our intuition, or worrying about being accepted by others, we miss life's adventures. We care too much what other people say. I love Terry Cole Whitaker's book, What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. Actually, I've never read it. I just like the title. What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. That's how we ought to be, because when we care what other people think, or when we don't give out guidance or information or whatever because of what people might judge us by or think, we lose so much in our lives. Our major life fears are fear of rejection. That's a big one. Fear of abandonment. Almost every adopted child, and a lot of children that are not adopted, have a feeling from the time they're really, really little of being abandoned. We have fears of intimacy, of failure. We have fears of success. Can you believe that we're afraid to be successful? We're fearful of illnesses. We are fearful of continual stress and tension. We are fearful of death. But most of all, we feel guilt. We feel guilt about everything in our lives. If we're doing well and we're tuning and picking up things, we'll go, oh, what is wrong with me that I'm picking up this kind of stuff? What if it's not correct? Sometimes it's not, but usually it is. We have to learn to use these abilities and not be fearful. Fear, Tony Robbins says fear. False evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. That's all fear is. And once you dissect it that way, it loses its power. A little quote I use constantly in my daily life is, if God seems far away, guess who moved? God sees far away, guess who moved? We need to learn to listen and go within to hear the insights that are given to us in our meditations and our quiet times. You are never going to use your intuition as fully as you're capable of doing unless you learn how to get quiet, unless you learn how to meditate. It's in meditation and in quiet that you begin to hear these things and know these things. It's in the quiet meditation that you write your books, your songs, your poetry. It's in the quiet, and we don't take enough time to be quiet. Children that are taught to meditate when they're very young have an enhanced rate of health and also awareness. And we do our kids a disservice by not teaching them how to meditate, how to be quiet, and how to listen. Every night, I talk to God and listen to God. And whether you believe it or not, God talks back to me. Not always what I'd like to hear, but always talks back to me in a loving and caring way. So I listen every night to God talk to me, no matter how tired I am. How much fuller and more productive and happier we would be if we learned to trust our inner guidance. If we learned to trust our intuition and then act on that very intuition and see that the promises that we feel and receive are valid because we are in a state of understanding and awareness of things that are not our five senses. Our sixth sense is more powerful than any of the other five, and it's the one that we neglect the most, use the least. We need to speak out about things that we believe. You know, sometimes people that come here go, I love to come here, but I can't tell any of my friends where I'm going because of, you know, the things that we believe here. Now, they believe them too, but they just don't talk about them. So we have a fear of sharing with people some of our deepest feelings and things that are happening in our life. Martin Luther King said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. It matters. Our intuition. It matters. It matters not only to our own soul growth, but how we can be of greater service to others. Lazarus, I'm not particularly a follower of Lazarus, but he got some wonderful information. He said, the law of priority is that when priorities are in order, definitely 50% will be achieved, probably 75%. And possibly 100% will be achieved when your priorities are in order. And when they're out of order, none are achieved. We need to get our priorities in order. Our priority should be listening to the Spirit, trusting our intuition. That's more important than our soap operas and all the other things we do. And I'm guilty as anybody else. Maybe not soap operas, but Dr. Phil. We have other things that come into our life that cloud our thinking. How seldom are we quiet and listen? How seldom do we really listen to the leadings of the Spirit? The only way you can live forever is to love somebody, then you really leave a gift behind when you die. When you live that way, as I've seen with people with physical illness, you literally have a choice of when you die. Bernie Siegel, many of you have read a lot of his works. And we want to leave behind a world better shape than we find it in now, which won't be hard because it's in a real mess right now. However, out of all the difficulties can come some of the greatest growth that we've ever had. So I keep reminding myself, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. You have a body. You are a soul. I am a soul. I am capable of doing anything that I set for myself to do. There is nothing I cannot do with God's help. Intuition is seeing with the soul. Intuition is seeing with the soul. Not with the eyes or the mind, with the soul. How nice it would be if instead of looking at people and saying, oh, you know, being critical about them, you would say, I wonder what their soul is like. They must have a wonderful soul. They are so nice. They must have a wonderful soul. Let's ask about people's souls, not about the unimportant things. Albert Einstein said this, and this, you have to really listen to this to get the meaning of this. I believe in intuition and inspiration. I sometimes feel that I am right. I do not know that I am. I feel that I am. And in that has been my success. Albert Einstein. Our bodies have five senses, touch, smell, taste, sight, hearing, but not to be overlooked are the senses of our souls, intuition, peace, foresight, trust, empathy. The differences between people lie in their use of these senses. Most people don't know anything about the inner senses, while a few people rely on them, just as they rely on their physical senses, and in fact, probably even more. Intuition is always right in at least two important ways. It is always in response to something. It always has our best interest at heart. Our intuition. Amazing. You need to look on the internet for intuition because it's fascinating, some of the writings about it. You can go on and on. Developing your intuition, one of the most important things is to be a meditator. It helps you to get quiet and be in the present moment. At the heart of any meditation method is the practice of quieting the mind, which can help you increase your awareness of your intuitive sense. So what can we do to learn to develop our intuition more? First of all, take time in every day to be quiet and talk with God and listen to God. Don't hold your hand up. When's the last time you and God had a conversation? Some of you probably this morning, some of you last night, some of you constantly and some of you rarely. But the more that we attune and listen to the inspiration we get, truly, the more our lives are full. We are here, each one of us, to learn to develop the sixth sense and to live our lives more fully through having that as something to add to the equation of our intuition and our awarenesses. Casey said, when asked to give details and directions for developing the intuitive sense, trust more and more from that which may come from within, or is a very common but definite way to develop through intuition. That's one of the Casey readings, and it's a great little book. I've practically worn three copies out. Be Your Own Psychic. Wonderful little booklet from ARE in Virginia Beach. How can my clairvoyant powers be developed? Every entity, that means every single one of us, has the ability to be clairvoyant, mystic, and psychic. It's a matter of getting quiet and listening and following the things that we receive. So it's really simple. If you will work a little bit with your meditation and getting quiet, you will begin to pick up things about your own body and your own healing. Now, sometimes you simply cannot pick up all the things that you would like to, and other people can help. And I think there are chiropractors, doctors, all kinds of people that can help in bringing you into balance and harmony, but you'll have some intuitive things about that. I know intuitively when I go into a doctor's office if this is going to be someone that I can resonate with or not. I just know intuitively. And sometimes it's really disappointing because you go in and you know this is not going to work out with me, and it doesn't. And of course you could say, well, maybe she's just setting that up by thinking that. But in truth, you have this knowing about people. The times that I have not followed my dreams, and I would have a dream of warning about someone to try to protect me from things that were going on, and I wouldn't listen to it, and it would turn out to be absolutely correct. I do not have any gift that each of you does not have. And some of you have far greater gifts than I will ever have, these wonderful abilities that people have can work with. So I think one of the most important, maybe number one, is to learn to get quiet, to learn to tune in and talk to God. Keep a journal, write down what you get, because you will forget. You won't remember many of the things, or you'll get the information a little incorrect. I've kept journals for the last 30 years, and I read back over, and I remember things wrong. I was looking at one of the books I wrote, Stephen Lives, and realized I had forgotten a bunch of the stuff in a book that I wrote. And that happens when you, especially if it's been a number of years ago, but we do forget so quickly. We do forget. So as we learn to work with our intuition more, we will have stronger relationships with people because we will sense their energies and the feelings about them. As we learn to work with our intuition more, financially it can be very successful for us. And we work with someone who does investing and uses intuition and is quite good at that. So it can be used in anything that you work with. So my challenge to each of you would be to go home today and to tune in and to talk to God and say, God, what special gifts could I develop that would help me in fulfilling my soul purpose this lifetime and would enable me to be of greater service to others? And then listen for that guidance. Write down what you think you hear, and you'll find that there'll be confirmations of a lot of your intuitive abilities as time goes by. So the challenge is to get quiet. The challenge is to learn to listen. The challenge is to learn to trust and act on the guidance that you get and watch yourself unfolding like a flower, blossoming fully because of your ability to let this happen. So I wish all of you great intuitive abilities and great listening abilities and a great life based upon using your sixth sense as fully as you use your other five. God bless you.